for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, February the 20th, 1994. Ladies' conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Ruth Wilson, wife of Colonel Speed Wilson, Akron, Ohio, is the speaker of the morning.
I said last night that when I received this Voices from His Excellent Glory and we saw there was going to be a woman's meeting, I was so excited. I wanted to come. Little did I know I'd be up here. But I had such an sense of anticipation, and Steve did too. We both did. And I can see why now, this morning. He is truly with us. Isn't that awesome? The God of the universe is with us, dwelling in us, and He's calling us on. Don't stop, as our beloved Mildred and all of you said this morning. It was as though you spoke everything that Lord has been speaking in my heart. And it was such a confirmation that we're not to stop. We can't enter a comfort zone. That day is past. We're coming to the end of the 6,000-year period. I'm talking to people who know their word. I don't have to stop and give you chapter and verse for everything. But you know, on the sixth day, when they were in the wilderness, they had a double portion of manna. So we're receiving a double portion of manna in this hour. We're receiving revelation abundantly above all that we could ask or think or we've never even dreamed of. I think we're just starting to reach that point. I don't believe we've even begun to enter. Well, we've begun, but there's so much more for us. Yes. You know, in the 12th Psalm, it tells us the word of God is true and it's refined as silver, yea, seven times. So, you know, each of us have had the experience of going through the word. We've read it over and over. And then one day we thought, oh, He must have written that overnight. I never saw that before. We received that spirit of revelation of the word. So if He has 7 degrees of revelation, that is what I meant when I said, I think we're beginning. Maybe we're at number 2 or maybe number 3. But we mustn't stop. We've got to go on. And as I said, we can't hit a comfort zone. There are those, you know, when we've seen again the Prince of Egypt, and they've given the story of where God brought them out that He might bring them in. Now He's bringing us out of this time of darkness to bring us in. We have praised Him and magnified Him, and He has said He's with us, each one of us, here and out today. In the years past, when He first started teaching me, back in those early days, I came to know Him. I went forward to the singing just as I am at 8 years old. I wish I could say that I was just on fire for the Lord and I read my Bible every day and all of this. Well, I didn't. But I can look back and see where His hand was upon me, His faithfulness. Even though I didn't know it, He was there. And we can be sure that He's there with us now in every moment and everything. And He is teaching us to walk with Him daily. I think in the past you could classify me as an unbelieving a believer. Because I said with mental assent, I believed it. But then one day He showed me that I was deceiving myself because I wasn't necessarily walking in it. And He's calling us to walk our talk now, to let it go down to our feet and walk it out. That day is here now. That word came forth so strongly this morning from so many of you, dear sisters, that it is today while it's called today. He said, not in His Hebrews, it said, don't have an evil heart of unbelief where the word wasn't mixed with faith, because that generation didn't enter in. But there remaineth a rest to the people of God, and somebody's going to enter in. And let us determine that it's going to be us. From the beginning, I said I was going to be a Joshua or a Caleb. And you know, it's beginning to look that way because as old as I'm getting, they were 80 years old when they went in. So maybe, you know, so I'm not giving up. I mean that with all my heart. They were 80 when they went in, but there were only the two. Isn't that too bad? There were many that heard, but they didn't believe, and their bones bleached in the wilderness. And we don't want to be a castaway, as Paul said, you know, that we follow after. We don't want to be a castaway. In those early days, he started teaching me immediately about the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, this, when I received the baptism in 1968, you didn't hear much talk about the Feast of Tabernacles in those days. And he started teaching me about the manifestation of the sons of God. And you know, in those days, that was a dirty word. You didn't speak that word in those days, because if you did, boy, you were classified as a true heretic.
Right.
But it was in that time frame. I can be explicit because Speed was in Vietnam. So I remember many things that happened to me as where he was and what he was doing. But it was in that 68 to 70 period. I was ironing one day while he was over there. And you know how you hear from the Lord? The Lord spoke to me. You know how we all know how he speaks to us. This inner witness, or we have a thought, we know that we couldn't possibly think that because it didn't come from our natural man. But he said to me, just as those that say, and he gave me the name of a denomination, which I will not give, but he said, just as those people say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is of the devil, he said, just so, when I start to make my next move, in other words, tabernacles, there will many of the Pentecostals and Charismatics won't want to go along with it, and they'll say that is heresy too. So don't stop. Don't stop. He has so much more for us. And when I started studying the tabernacle pattern that he gave Moses in the wilderness, everything about that is about our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Every little bit, not one bit, is not of him. And it helped me so much to stay on a true path, not get off by the tabernacle in the wilderness. And as I said, just recently we've seen the Prince of Egypt, and it's, oh, the marvel of what God did in delivering them, is he is delivering us this day from the flesh man, the soul, and bringing the soul in submission to the spirit. As he brought them out, and he said that I might bring you in. And they were in that wilderness 40 years, and you know it was about 2 weeks' journey into the promised land. We all know that story. But they said, oh, we can't go in. Oh, my goodness. You know, that we're just like grasshoppers in this. And there's going to be giants that are going to face us today, maybe even bigger than Goliath. But we have purposed in our heart that he is greater, that he who is within us is greater than he who is in the world. We know that now. We have sung it this morning. The word has come forth to confirm it to us. We are truly his body, and he's bringing us into a unity and into love and into this new dimension of the baptism, beyond realizing the baptism. Pentecost was a wilderness experience. You know, we forget that. Sometimes we think we have just arrived at the total. But it was a journey to prepare us for the journey. The baptism, as it says in Ephesians, it was in part. I just wanted to, you know, God has his show and tell. And I just wanted to show you this. And as a reminder, because I'm sure you all know it, but this is a picture of that tabernacle in the wilderness. And when I studied it, it was so exciting. You know, sometimes you think, how could you get all excited about something like that, and all these badger skins and all this and this and this and this. But it is so exciting when you understand that it's all about the Lord Jesus the Christ. And this is an exterior view, and you can see here, right there, the door, right there, the gate. And I only want to spend a few minutes on this, but all of the dimensions in the tabernacle were multiple of five, which is pure grace. So anyway, you see that entry there is very wide, and it's 5 cubits high. That means a lot of people can go in. You know, many people come into so-called salvation, or what we sometimes term born again, and I think really in many ways that might be a kind of not the right term to use. But you notice there's a brazen altar there, and that's 5 by 5 too. And then behind it is the laver. And the laver was made out of the mirrors that the ladies had brought with them out of Egypt. And there's no dimension mentioned in the scriptures about the size. But that held the water in there. The water of the washing of the water of the word. In other words, there's no depth nor extent that the word doesn't. The living word, the living Christ, it's always a proceeding now word. If we don't realize it's a daily now word, we can't live in the past and we can't live tomorrow. But daily, while it's called today, he's urging us to stand in faith on the word today. A friend of mine and I, when we first came into this walk, we wanted to stand on his word. And you know what we did? I know it sounds childish now, but we put our Bibles on the floor and literally stood on the word. We said, at this stage, Lord, we don't know how to demonstrate our heart's desire except to do this. And we did it. But that water, that priest had to wash going in and out of the tabernacle. And of course, as you see, the outer court is 100 cubits by 50 cubits by 5. That's 1,500 years. And they feel that this is a typology of the age of the law. Then you get into the tabernacle itself, and the first part is 10 by 10 by 20, and that's the 2,000 years. And we are indeed at the end of the 2,000-year period. So we don't need to think it's strange that there's all different types of things that are happening. And inside of there, of course, then you see on the left-hand side is where the... the left-hand is the... candlestick. And it was a beaten candlestick from one piece of gold, and the most wonderful thing in there, it had little knobs and flowers and fruit on it, and it was either side, the number of books in the Old Testament and the number of books in the New Testament. And isn't that awesome? Then when they came in to clear it twice a day to clean the wicks, they didn't leave any of the little burnt portions fall in. In other words, there was to be no contamination. There's to be no mixture. The day of mixture is over. There is to be a pure word, a pure spirit today. He's calling us for a pure spirit. That's why he's working so on our soul, man. Because if our soul is not saved, our spirit will pick up this man, this human, this soul, and will give an impure word. But he's calling for a pure word in this hour. No longer mixture. And then there's the showbread, the table, the showbread across. And that, of course, is as they said, it was the word, the bread that they partook. And when it was on there for 7 days, and on the seventh day, the priests came in and partook of that. And when they partook of it, they also poured some wine on the ground, a type of the bread of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus. And remember, it was all on the earth. It was an earthen floor. There was no artificial floor in there. In other words, everything that's to be done there is to be done on earth. Not wait till we get to heaven. We don't need to do that up there. The call has gone out this morning repeatedly by the Spirit. He wants us to do it here now on this earth in this time frame. We are coming. Is that first part there, as I said, that's 20 by 10 by 10. That's 2,000 years since. And that's what many feel, that that is the time frame of the church, the age of grace. And we're coming to the end of that age of grace. And then the Holy of Holies. Oh, there is, there, go back there, speed. Yes, the altar of incense is where the prayers went up daily, twice a day. And the aroma of everything about the incense they burned. Everything is a type of the Lord. Our prayers go up as incense to the Lord. Everything is the type of our Lord Savior. And then you go through, and then both the gate and the veil had a 10 by 10 dimension, 100 cubic. And all three of them, it was the same way. You go in through Jesus. There's no other way. You never leave the work of the cross. The foundational work is always there. Then, of course, the colors that they used was blue for his divinity and purple for his kingship and red for his human, the blood. And then, of course, it was on this fine twined white linen that was the righteousness. So everything was a type of it. And then when you got inside the Holy of Holies, in the holy place realm, the light was the candlestick. Out in the outer court, you had some light of the Lord, but then there was mixture because you had light and darkness out there. And then in the holy place, you had the Holy Spirit shining on the showbread, giving light to the Word. I know when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we were Episcopalians background at that time. And you know, maybe you don't, but the prayer book of the Episcopal Church is almost 98% scripture. It was amazing. The next day I went in, or the next Sunday, I should say, that I went in after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I couldn't believe it. It was like they wrote it overnight. I understood the Word. It was life to me. The same Word I had read for years became living Word. It was life to every. It was just exciting because it was life. Now, if we were so excited there, can you imagine what we're going to be when we come into the third portion of the Holy of Holies? That's 10 by 10 by 10. And many believe that is the type of the millennium period of the time frame. And in there is the ark. And that's where he dwelt. And then the mercy seat was pure gold with the cherubim above. And you see now, through the blood of Jesus, we can approach the ark and the tree of life. Remember that the cherubim and the flaming sword kept you from approaching the tree of life before. But now we can partake. And in there is the glory of God, only the light of Father in there. And all the dimensions, and even the way they were made, and the way they were carried, and everything is exciting about it. But I had the privilege of teaching this one time, and it was over a week long, so I'm just touching this. But I wanted you to see that in this movie, the Prince of Egypt wasn't, you know, I'm sure all of you have seen the Ten Commandments by Cecil DeMille, too, also. And they stop when you enter the land, you see. And they don't go ahead. And, well, of course, they can't, really, because that wasn't their premise. But the things that the Lord did for them in the wilderness, as you all know, their clothes and their shoes and their... But they also complained about the manna, but he kept them all those 40 years. But then he tested them and tried them to see if they would believe his word in that time frame. So now he wants us to go on and into the land. And many people feel that they're comfortable where they are. They have it all. And if you think you have it all, you've already stopped your journey. You know, if you think you've arrived and you have every understanding of the Word, then you've lost the possibility of hearing a fruit. You've cut it off. I just want speed briefly to put something else up here, just as a little information. We have over the years, and we have many more of these at home, but this is just a overview of the progressiveness of many of the aspects of the Word, of the milk and the bread and the meat, the way, the truth, and the life, the 30, 60, and 100-fold. And it goes on and on and on, and we have even more of these. I just wanted him to put it up there for a moment so that you could see that, just as a thought on that. But when I started to study on this, I think you can take that down, thank you. When I studied on this, and I told you that I have this privilege of studying and teaching this at one time. I asked a father what, you know, they always want you to have a title. And so as I was praying, I had been in Hebrews 6 a great deal. And he said, let us go on. And then the next time I had an opportunity of speaking about the tabernacle pattern, he added, let us go on unto perfection. Well, about 6 or 7 years ago, I had been so blessed in this teaching, but I realized that I was at a stalemate. I wasn't seeing the fruit in my life. I wasn't seeing, or wasn't, I felt being used of the Lord. And I really prayed earnestly, and I asked him, I said, he blessed me with some understandings, but take me all the way back, Father, so I can get my foundations firm. Because he said, you know, forgetting those things that are past, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And somehow I knew I was missing the mark. Of course, missing the mark is sin. But I had the analogy of the moonshot, for example. If they missed it, even infinitesimal here on earth, they would miss the moon, because by the time you had that trajectory, you would be way out. You wouldn't know why. So I knew somehow I was missing it. And as I prayed and sought his face, I came across a book by James McKeever. I don't know how many of you may have known James or know of James McKeever. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but he was a wonderful man of God who was active in the financial field. But he had written several books, and many of them received the Dove Awards. So, and he said, I never set out to read a book. The Lord commissioned me to read them, write them, or I would never write them. I said, read, didn't I? Write a book. But I was reading one called The Overcomer, and there was a phrase in there that totally has revolutionized my walk. And it's so simple, but it's so profound. He said, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life are mutually exclusive. You cannot mix them. I did not realize that I was studying many ways from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By that, I was more in a lot in sense knowledge. I was a studious person. So I enjoyed learning. And when he gave me that revelation, it was like a steel blade about this long came down from heaven and just sliced between the two. And I knew that I was cut off from feeding any more from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Without recognizing it, you know that the good of the tree of good and evil is not God's good. We forget that, you know. And then he shown me the very back in that Hebrew scripture of 6, Hebrews 6, 1, when he showed me these things. He showed me that so many people, without realizing it, were feeding from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I mean his people like I was. And you know, when revelation comes, it's like an expanding. You put a pebble in a pool and it keeps expanding out and out and out to almost infinity. And I could see the difference of the mixture that I was involved with because of I was double-minded. I would believe him, what he said in his word, but I didn't walk in it. And he showed me how deceptive that was. Because I had read something about A.W. Tozier one time, and he said, Satan doesn't care how much you know as long as you don't walk in it. But when you start walking in it, then you become dangerous to him. So if we just talk the talk and not walk the talk, then we're really no danger. He just leaves us alone, so to speak. But then he showed me that in Hebrews, and that's 6:1, he says, therefore, leaving the principles and doctrines of Christ, let us go on into perfection. But before that, in the last part of the fifth chapter, he calls us and tells us about that Paul wrote Hebrews. I don't know. I think most people think that, but it's not declarative. But that he wanted to talk about Melchizedek and the order of Melchizedek. And he says, but you can't hear it now. He says, when you should be eating meat, you're still needing people teaching you. And you're not founded and grounded in the principles and doctrines of Christ. And he says, you know, that you're like a babe. And he was quickening me to this and showing me how true this was. And then, therefore, it says in 6:1, oh, the last verse of Hebrews 5. I want to read these few verses here. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, this is 6:1 of Hebrews, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. In other words, we're supposed to be grounded and founded on these principles. And I realized that I wasn't founded and grounded on these basic principles. And I realized, well, no wonder the Lord couldn't take me on or show me more, because I wasn't truly grounded and founded in these basic ones. And he said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. See, the very first thing I saw was in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Those things, even from the good, was dead works in God's sight. And that we are to repent from those dead works. And then the next one, and of the faith toward God. And I realized I wasn't, I believed him, but when, you know, like those seed that were sown, and some had root in themselves for a little while, but then when the problems and the circumstances came, well, then you started questioning everything that was going on. Well, that was me. I was double-minded. And you know, in Matthew it says that some said, oh, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? And didn't we do that in your name? And he said, begone from me, you workers of iniquity. And I was so troubled with those scriptures because I thought, boy, that's me. I'm double-minded. One day I'll say, yes, Lord. The next day I'll look at the circumstances and fall just as far and fast as could be. So this faith toward God started working in me, and by the grace of God, all the songs we sang this morning. Isn't that awesome? Oh, the wonder and the glory of the faithfulness. Even if we're not faithful, he is faithful. And he's calling us to walk in believing him for everything, everything, to believe in him. As our sister Mildred said, today we've got to start to believe God. We have to if we're going to go on. That, you know, in the wilderness journey, it was so wonderful, he said. He never went faster than the one who wanted to go. But that day, you know, that 2,000-year period, that day of the Pentecost 2,000 years wilderness experience is over. Or it's coming to an end, shall I say. I think we're in a transition time, I believe. Yeah, we are in a transition time, aren't we? The other day, we were listening to John Hagee, and he said something that both Speed and I were quickened about. He said the 50th Jubilee of the State of Israel was just last year. But he brought out a point we hadn't thought about, that many of the, say, the banks of Switzerland and some of these are starting to give the monies back to the Israelis or the Holocaust victims. And we hadn't thought of that. And then there's a brother that you may know if I would speak. His name has done a great extensive time frame study. And he said that the 120th Jubilee of Jubilees from the time of the beginning and this 50th Jubilee corresponded within a reasonable length of time. So, you know, that is to get back, he said to David, pursue, overtake, and recover all. But I am seeing it now that he's speaking to us. Pursue, overtake, and recover all that we lost in the fall. And you know, we don't have any idea yet. Maybe a few have entered in. I can't say that. But what has God purposed in our being before the foundations of the world? He had plans that he couldn't carry out because Adam fell. Now, he wants us to come back into that realm that he had purposed before the foundations of the earth to fulfill his ultimate purpose in the world. And I mean in the world, because that tabernacle, it was on the earth. The priests were on the earth. Now, it's nice to think of what, if you die, and I don't plan to, plan to be alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. I have proclaimed that as I proclaim being one of Joshua or Caleb. I believe it with all. If the last enemy to be overcome is death, then somebody's going to do it. Amen. Now, he said his word is not going to return unto him void, but it's going to accomplish that which he has sent. So why not us? And why not now? Amen. And why not believe him for it?
Amen.
Not You know, it's really like, to me, it's a heresy now since he's worked on me about faith toward God. I'm so thankful he worked on me this way. You know, I used to ask him, oh, Lord, let me be humble, let me be meek. And, you know, Chronicles, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. It starts here. If it can't start here, like the sister had the word last night, he wants us to go out and be his government. He wants us to be usable vessels to bring forth that which he's ordained before the foundations of the earth. And he, all these things, is, you know, when you read that, he says your name's written in the Lamb Book of Life. He, as he told Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Do we really believe that? He's calling us now to really believe his word. And it's yea and amen in Christ Jesus. He said, we have the mind of Christ. Do you believe you have the mind of Christ? And you know, also the baptisms. The baptism of water. And then, of course, he said the baptism of the Spirit. And the baptism of fire. And, you know, Peter says, think it not strange of the fiery trials to come to test your faith. There are fiery trials, but that comes from that soul man that didn't quite submit unto the Spirit of the living God. And that is what he's calling us to realize that our soul man is where the difficulty is right now. When he gave me that revelation of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and tree of life, he brought that scripture to me of 2 Corinthians 10:4. Of pulling down a stronghold. That our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down all imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing everything into submission to the Christ, the Anointed One. In other words, we can no longer have the privilege of thinking our own thoughts. That is denied us now. We have to say what God says. And it's important to say it. And that word has come through here tremendously, blessedly. The importance to say it. Last night, Carol stood up here and proclaimed the word of God against the familiar spirits and family. They proclaimed. They said it. And, you know, in the early days before television, you'd go to the movies and you'd see, they'd always have the movie tone news, and they showed you how old I am. But anyway, they would show this from the top of this tower. It would be like bing, 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 and there would be waves of, you know, sound going out. Well, it's truly that way. Our voice is sound. God created by the word, and it's the same thing for us. I woke up one morning and I heard the word, you're living creators. We are living creators. He wants us to use his word to bring forth his purpose in the earth. Speed and I were discussing the other day that he remembered Demas Shakarian. I'm sure you all know who Demas was, the blessed man. He was prevailing before the Lord after and wondering why things didn't go quite as he had seen in his first vision. And the Lord said, I've given you my word. I've given you my son. I've given you my spirit. The rest is up to you. But you see, on the same hand in Philippians, it said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that word came through this morning from one of the sisters, that he is going to sanctify us, spirit, soul, and body, and faithful is he who will do it. But it's in our proclaiming, believing what he says enables him to work in our lives. Because it says in that first, I believe it's the first chapter of Hebrews, he said, for of which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make my enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Those angels are waiting for you to proclaim the word of God so that they can go forth and fulfill it. Now, when you say something that isn't the word of God, they cannot be commissioned to go and fulfill that word. But it's so important now to speak what he has for us to say. and bring it under, as he said, casting down all imaginations and bringing every thought. Now that is a thought there, to bring every thought into obedience. But he would not tell us to do something that he did not enable us to do. To bring every thought into obedience. Think what he thinks and say what he says. And then the next thing in here was the doctrine of baptisms. And I started to say about the baptisms. We know that we were baptized in the water, then in the Spirit. But in the Spirit and fire. Jesus, now, you know, we were saying that isn't. But on the other hand, think of it. If we get the baptism of fire, everything that in us that can be burned, then there will no longer be any combustible material within us. So in the day of fire that may be coming on the earth, as we all know, we've heard so many things. I don't need to elaborate those here because that's not my portion at this time. But there will no longer be anything combustible in there. Now, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, does that mean that we can walk through a physical fire and not be touched? Because that fourth man is going to be not only with us, but in us. And each one of us is a part of the body, of the cells of the body. And within each cell, as you know now, they're cloning sheep. So everything that can be the fullness of Christ is in each cell. So it's in each one of us, the fullness. And he is making a living temple. We know that there are a lot of stories now about getting the red heifer for the ashes, for the purification, the building of the temple in Jerusalem. But what could be more of an abomination when he was a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice to restore blood sacrifice? But you see, that's a counterfeit of the truth. He is building his temple now. So if you can watch, you can see counterfeits of truth all the way out there. As I said last night, I believe he's bringing forth his women to do that which he's ordained for them to walk in. For in the Spirit, there's neither male nor female. But you know, the NOW women, National Organization of Women, was established. They were going to get their rights. And there were many inequalities and many injustices. But the whole concept was so abusive and abrasive that the church people or God's people started putting women down, if I can use it that way, because they were starting to talk about the Jezebel spirit, and rightly so. But you know, a Jezebel spirit can be in a man or a woman. It's not just, and that's one of those things that in the book of the Revelation, when he's talking to those churches, he's talking about those, the Jezebel spirit. Thank you. Praise. On the baptisms, we know the baptism of fire. But there was another baptism in Corinthians 12 when it says the Holy Spirit is going to baptize us into the body of Christ. I hadn't seen that for a while. And when I saw it, I thought, oh, is that another progressive step that to be put into the body? Does that mean that you are so willing for the Lordship of Jesus Christ not to do your own thing, that you could be a part of the body? Because you know, if in our bodies the arm went this way and one this way and that leg this way and that way, it wouldn't be a very coordinated body. So there's a necessity to be submitted to the Lordship, the headship of Jesus, to be baptized into this body. And then he goes on, of course, about laying on of hands and eternal judgment, and that is God making right all things that are wrong. Then he goes on to the resurrection. And then down there on the third verse, and says, and this will we do if God permits. And I thought, now there is quite a profound statement. Will he not permit us to go on to see those greater things that he's ordained for us to walk in if we do not have these foundations to build upon the rock? Because, you know, if you're going to build a house, Jesus talks about those that built with firm foundation and those that build upon the sand. But if you're going to build a house, you have to get your foundation sure. And that foundation of ours is the rock, and that's bedrock. He is the bedrock. And then we get that deep foundation, and then the structure comes up. And that, you've seen houses in progress. That structure is not seen. It's all enclosed then. But if it isn't a strong structure, it, no matter how pretty the outside looks, it's not going to stand. The Lord quickens us to see no man after the flesh. We had the occasion to meet a dear brother. He wasn't a man of great education, but his insight into the Word was so precious. And he was so full of the joy of the Lord, he was in his 80s, he hardly knew what to do with himself. He was so seeing into this realm of the Spirit that he was dancing. And, you know, for a second I had this, oh, gee. And then the Lord said, don't see him after the flesh. See the spirit of this precious man of God. And he doesn't want us to look anymore after the flesh, but see that which is in each one. As we the word came forth repeatedly, repeatedly, about being a part of the body. And we just praise you, Lord, and thank you. There is a realm. We had occasion to meet David Duplessis. Some of you may have known him. We had the privilege of knowing him. He was called Mr. Pentecost. He was from South Africa, a dear man of God. He was mightily used by the Spirit to bring harmony between the so-called Pentecostals, charismatics, and denominational churches. And he wrote a book called The Spirit Bade Me Go, based on that scripture. And then he related an instance in the time in South Africa, I believe it was, where he was ministering, and it had gone long into the service, and he was supposed to be at another service almost instantaneously. And he put his foot down on the porch of where he was. And when he put his other foot down, he was on the porch of where he was to be, 6 blocks away. He was translated by the Spirit. He said he absolutely had no sense of movement at all. It was as though it was just a normal movement. And then some of the people of his entourage were in the first group. When they got to the second place, they asked him, how did you do that, or how did you get here? And he said, well, and he related this to him, to them, I should say. And we know another couple who were they were in full gospel. They were supposed to speak somewhere up in New England, and they were running behind, and they knew that they weren't going to be able to make the schedule because they had 50 more miles to go. And they started across one bridge and had a superstructure of some sort. And when they got across the bridge, it was a different bridge. And they made it on time. And they went back the next day, and there were 50 miles between those two bridges. So, you see, he wants us to be available, that if the need is somewhere, that he can translate us. You know, when Nicodemus came to see the Lord Jesus, he told him you have to be born again. And then he said, you can't see the kingdom without being born again. But then you can't enter into the kingdom without the water and the Spirit. And at that, in those days, I used to ask about the water, and I'd say, well, is that the baptism in water? Or is that the washing of the water of the Word? Or is that living water coming from you? Is that? And I think it's a matter of all three, really, and the Spirit. But then it goes on to say that you are, it's like the Spirit. You know, the wind blows where it will. No matter, nobody knows where it comes from and where it goes. And that's what he's calling us to, greater things. I have not seen, ear heard, nor enter into the heart of man, the things he has for us. But he's calling us on. Don't get comfortable. You know, when he took them into the land, when Joshua, of course, was the leader then, he had the priests carry the ark. The minute they put their foot in the Jordan, it was in flood stage. And the Jordan stood up the same way as the sea did. And many people forget that. But they went across again on dry land. And you can imagine for the millions that went across how long they would have to stand there. And the story is they went across as individual tribes and they came out as a nation. And then, of course, the first thing they had to do was circumcise, cut away the flesh. That is the circumcision, as he calls it, the heart. The cutting away of the flesh. And he is in this hour dealing with our flesh man, our soul man. When we fell, the Spirit fell and was encased in the soul. And the soul, the living soul that Adam was dominant. The soul man and the flesh carnal man was dominant. When we were born again, of course, our spirit became free. but that released our soul, then we have a choice now. We can either go back after that Adam man, or we can go with the life-giving spirit. He was the last Adam and the second man. We can either stay there and not believe what he said, that we all died in him, because for years I tried to die. Well, you have to accept that you died with him and that you were raised with him, and come on to the life side, the resurrection side of the cross, and to know that you are seated with him in heavenly places. And then you are to walk in the spirit and then stand when you've done all to stand. And that only offensive weapon they had was the word of God. And the temptation is always with Eve. Has God said? Are you going to believe what God said? But, oh, you can be so wise. He's trying to hold something from you. You know. He said you were not to eat it nor to touch it. And so he doesn't want us to touch in that realm at all. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. He wants us to go on with him and not staying back there, because he has a job for each one of us to do. He had a purpose for us, the good works ordained that we should walk in them. And from the beginning of the foundations of the world, he knew us, and he purposed the work he has. And we didn't know what family we were going to be brought into. We didn't know what the circumstances were. But he is the Father of spirits. And he brought us forth for this hour and this day. And it's a great privilege to be in this generation when the transition time is coming. But don't think it strange of the fiery trial that may come to try you. Because Jesus, after he was baptized by John, and the dove came and proclaimed him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I remember the first time I read that he said, "And the Spirit took him in the wilderness to be tested of the devil." I thought, oh my. And we are in Lent now, in that 40 days that we usually attribute to that time of his testing and trial. And what did he do when he was tested and tried? He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." He who was the living Word incarnate, made flesh, and dwelt among us, said and used, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And our soul man now, when we see something, we're going to have to say, "It is written that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." It would be like you had bought for your children, "We are God's children." Many things at Christmas time. And they might open one package and say, "Oh, I don't like that." And then didn't open the rest of them. It's like God gave us all of this in Christ Jesus to fulfill every need for every time. And we would discount it. One day I was speaking and this thought came to me of the arrogance. You know, people say, oh, they don't want to be arrogant. But the true arrogance is not saying what God says you are in Christ Jesus. The true humility is saying what God says you are. And so let us not fall behind, but press on toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As Paul said, "Not that I've already attained, but I go forward," he said, "that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his death." Now, if Paul would say that in Philippians, after when he was over in Rome, as they think it was written from there, if he could say that with what the revelations were that he received, that would say, indeed, there is more, the double portion. You know, the early and latter rain that we spoke of last night in song, that is the double portion for this hour. So praise you, Lord. We just thank you. And now let us go on, not lingering behind, but worship and praise as we did this morning, knowing that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is an awesome thing when you meditate on that truth. And when Father God said, "I will be their God and I will dwell in them." And to know that he who was the dwelling place of all truth and all knowledge, our Lord and Jesus Christ, as Paul said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory," the mystery. But above all, let's not be sounding brass or tinkling cymbals, but the love of God. Because it said they could know all mysteries, have all knowledge, and they can have all faith and give everything they have. But if it wasn't out of a heart of love, you know, it meant nothing. But when that which is perfect has come, and then we shall know as we're known, and we will see as we... But that is the grace and the mercy of the Lord God, to do this, what he has done for, through, and in us. For everything was made for him and for his glory, and that the good, see the good works and glorify him. That is what he's calling us to do. And to do that which he's ordained before the foundations of the world for us to walk in. And let's give him praise and glory. And thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. I'm wondering if somebody can go outside and get Phil out there. He's standing outside. Oh, thou mighty Christ, come forth in me. My will, my way, I yield to thee. The barren sing a travailing song. Oh, praise his name. It won't be long. It won't be long. Let's sing that song together. Oh, put it in the key of C and we'll try it. Why don't you? I think we have this on the overhead. Let's put it in B flat. Give me the high C. The high B flat. Thou mighty Christ, come forth in me. Why don't you stand? My will, my way, I yield to thee. The barren sing a travailing song. Oh, praise his name. Oh, praise his name. It won't be long. Thou mighty Christ, hallelujah, come forth in me. My will, my way, I yield to thee. The barren sing a travailing song. Oh, praise his name. It won't be long. Try it again. Thou mighty Christ, come forth in me. Forth in me, my will, my way, my will, my way, I yield to thee, I yield to thee. The barren sing a travailing song. Oh, praise his name. It won't be long. Lift both your hands, make that a prayer. Thou mighty Christ, hallelujah, come forth in me. My will, my way, I yield to thee. The barren sing a travailing song. Oh, praise his name. Won't be long. You know, that song was written almost 50 years ago. About 50 years ago. Somebody wrote it, saw something in the Spirit that we're beginning to walk into today, 50 years later. Amen. Thou mighty Christ. How many can agree with that prayer and what our sister has spoken this morning? Thou mighty Christ, come forth in me. My will, my way, I yield to thee. The barren sing a travailing song. Something's being birthed here this morning. Amen. Oh, praise his name. It won't be long. Let's lift our hands and make it a prayer again and sing it again. Thou mighty Christ, come forth in me. Hallelujah, Jesus. My will, my way, I yield to thee. Sing a travailing song. second verse. Oh, Lord, I wait upon Thee now, and at Thy feet I humbly bow, and as I be, hold Thy face, work in me, by Thy grace. One more time. Almighty Christ, hallelujah, Jesus, come forth in me. My will, my way, I yield to Thee. The barren sing a travailing song. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, praise His name. It won't be long. Lord, that's our prayer this morning. That's our prayer. Come forth in us, Lord. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us. Oh, Nahash Baharai. Yehema Salabo Kupataya. Shehebomo Maramaku Telebobo Shaya. Kehere Balabo Borabaku Rabalaba Shere Barondo. Lemo Koriaranda Lababa Kushala Barara Baranda. Lord, help us to lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset, and to run with patience the race that is set before us. Help us to walk on into perfection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to lay aside those elementary doctrines in the name of Jesus. We thank You for it, Lord. We are asking in faith, believing, Lord, You're going to do it. Help us to lay aside all the things that don't matter. The things that don't matter in the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, and come forth in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.